I am Plenta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Thursday night on the CBC is the world television premiere of the documentary The Wild Horse Redemption. It premiered at the 2007 Toronto International Film Festival to great acclaim. It gives us a look at an innovative program in Colorado. An estimated 32,000 wild horses roam the American Southwest, and the U.S. Bureau of Land Management round up a number of Mustangs and takes them to Cannon City, Colorado, at a correctional facility there, where the horses are paired up with an inmate, often a dangerous one at that. They have 90 days to train the horse for border patrols. The film gives us a view of the inmate and the wild Mustang and how together they train one another for life outside. We meet the trainers and some of the criminals who participate in this successful program. The film is directed by the noted filmmaker John Zuritsky. He's been nominated and won nearly every award there is and has directed such notable films as A Suicide Tourist, College Days, College Nights, Romeo and Juliet in Sarajevo, The Tears Are Not Enough video, and Just Another Missing Kid, for which he won an Oscar. Before his career in film, he was an award-winning newspaper journalist. The Wild Horse Redemption airs on the CBC's Doc Zone 8 p.m. this Thursday. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program Academy Award winner John Zuritsky. Good morning, Mr. Zuritsky.
Good morning.
This program, or the Wild Horse Inmate Program, WIP for short, when did this program begin?
Well, it started about 10 years ago in Colorado, but the same type of program with wild horses is also taking place in a number of other states, including Nevada.
And, is there one person who started it or someone that came up with this idea?
Yeah, it started with Colorado. I think we're the first people to get into this program, and it was largely the director of the program and the horse whisperer character who started it.
How did you find out about it?
I found out about it through a couple of Toronto writers who were doing a book on wild horses. And during the course of their research, they came across this program in Colorado and contacted me and said, this would make a great documentary, and I think they were right.
So they take the horses from the wild, they bring them to this prison setting. The prisoners have 90 days to train them for border duty. That's pretty much the program, right?
Well, more or less, but they also put up for, they not only serve in the border patrol, which they're ideal for, but also they are put out for adoption, and private citizens, and schools for delinquent children, and that kind of thing adopt the horses as well.
There is a unique relationship that man has with a horse, is that right?
I believe so now. I didn't think so when I started the film, but I do think that very, very special and close relationships are formed between the inmates and their horses, because they are each assigned horses to train, and during the course of the training, they become very, very close with the horses and get to know the horses the same way as you might get to know your best friend, you know?
Have you ever been on a horse?
No, not since I was 8 years of age and I was on the back of a pony so I could have my picture taken, but that's as close as I've been since.
What are the animal rights people, the animal rights activists, what do they think of this program?
Well, there is certainly some criticism of the program. There are certainly those who feel that the horses all should be left in the wild, and that it's not really, kind or good for the horses to have to be rounded up and then trained into becoming a domestic horse. But the evidence is so overwhelming that unless they did cull these horses from the wild, they reproduce at such a rate that they would overpopulate the lands where they are, and it would spoil the environment. It would not be a good thing.
Now, in the film, we meet this guy, Anthony Edwards. Now, is he an inmate, or?
Anthony Edwards was an inmate, and he's one of the more successful products of the film. He went through the program and became quite a skilled horse trainer himself, so that when he was released from prison, he was able to get a job on a ranch training horses. And also, he's led a very wonderful life since, not only with his job at the ranch, but he met a woman and married her, and she had a couple of children. So now he's completely turned his life around, has a family and children, and a good job that he loves, and he's been now outside and straight, a law-abiding citizen for about 3 years now.
There's another person, John Peterson. Mm-hmm. Now, what's his rep?
Well, John Peterson, is the oldest inmate in the film. He's served nearly half of his life behind bars. He has a record as long as his arm. And he certainly was regarded by people in the program as probably, the most difficult inmate.
So, was it hard for you to get your cameras into this program?
It took quite a while, yes. We had to, first of all, negotiate with the prison officials in Colorado, convince them that we wouldn't be disruptive to the program or to prison routine. And then it went right up to the governor of Colorado, who finally had to approve it and did approve it in the end. So, it took a while.
Did you learn anything new about two traits that we all should have, perhaps? Patience and discipline?
Yeah. I did, actually. I was quite surprised at myself that watching these men learn these lessons also helped me either reinforce those lessons or learn these lessons myself. I mean, it required a lot of patience in that, you know, we shot over a 6-month period, not every day, but off and on for 6 months, and many, many days nothing happened, and you just had to be patient and just keep going back and keep shooting more and keep hoping that something would happen, that the characters would develop and would change, and that the horses would be also interesting and wild enough for an audience.
Through your research, did you find that the program didn't work in some instances?
Yeah, absolutely. I hate to say this, but we focused on 5 guys in the film, and 2 of them, after the film was finished, ended up reoffending or breaking their parole and are now back in prison. So it's not a completely, successful program, but then very few programs that deal with inmates and criminals are,
Looking back at this film and your other work, mm-hmm. What motivates you the most as a filmmaker?
First of all, I want to do films about causes and about things that I believe in deeply. And in this instance, I think work programs for inmates like this is a far better alternative to the lock them up and throw away the key approach that was so fashionable during the Bush years and is still fashionable here in Canada with Mr. Harper and the Conservatives. And I think at least, attempting to teach inmates, criminals, some important life lessons and some skills is a better way of approaching corrections than, as I say, just simply warehousing them and turning them back onto the street in many cases worse than when they entered the system.
Do you think this program would be useful in Canada, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. We have wild horses, certainly, in B.C., and certainly my experience with both the men and the horses would make me a big supporter of programs like this.
You talked about making films that involve causes that you believe in. Mm-hmm. Is there a goal other than perhaps illuminating or enlightening the viewer, perhaps that you, as a filmmaker, want to influence opinion?
I do very much want to influence opinion, and I want to make films that will hopefully promote change and hopefully promote bringing in things, laws and programs that are better than the ones we have now.
And have you found that you've been successful at doing that? I'm thinking about the last film that we heard of yours, the Suicide Tourist. Do you think, there was a great deal of attention paid to you in that film when that came out a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you think you've been successful, perhaps, in influencing the debate in that regard, in terms of the right to death, I should say?
Well, I don't ever want to exaggerate my importance or the importance of any single film, in that way, because I think we contribute. I think films like The Suicide Tourist certainly sparks debate, opens up debate, gets people talking. But so far, it hasn't changed a thing. Here in this country, it's still illegal assisted suicide. And with no prospect until there's a change of government that it will change.
Have you thought of this idea of redemption after making this movie? Have you thought of it differently, perhaps?
Yeah, I have, actually. I myself have found myself to be more forgiving in nature and more open to the possibility that people can change and people can change for the better. And even though I had done films about victims for years and years and years and had seen the damage that these men have done in their time, I still, kept myself open and gradually became convinced that certainly it's a better way of going, and that these men can, some of them can change, and some of them can go on to lead useful and law-abiding lives.
Now, this film debuted at the Toronto Film Festival in 2007.
Yeah.
The reaction to the film was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great, actually. I had really high hopes that it would get a theatrical release. It didn't, much to my surprise and disappointment. It's been played all over the place in different festivals. It's had great reviews, and didn't make it on the theatrical circuit, so there you go.
You're looking forward to the showing on Thursday on the CBC?
Yeah, of course. It's the first time it'll be seen nationally in this country, and I'm always interested in what a Canadian audience will do with these things,
Now, you've won nearly every significant award there is in your business. People must ask you about the Oscar a lot, do they?
Yeah. People always want to ask about the Oscar.
Do you view it as a blessing and a curse, perhaps?
It certainly has been a blessing, no question about that. It opened a lot of doors and provided me with a lot of opportunities I wouldn't have had without it. But it's also been certainly a pretty complicating factor in my life.
How so?
Well, I've always sort of taken a view that it's a special, very special honor, and that I didn't want to do things that would change cheapen it or cheapen my reputation. And so as a result, it's been complicated in that I've had opportunities to make lots of money doing junk, but haven't. And, but it's complicated turning down lots of money, even though you don't want to do something, you know.
In terms of the films that you want to make, do you find that it helps you get to do the stuff that you want to do?
Yeah, and, you know, my track record now over the 25 years since I won the Oscar has helped, yeah. But it's not an automatic, and especially in this climate, I have to struggle and scramble for money and broadcasters like anybody else. I may have a little better access sometimes, but as I say, it's by no means an automatic. I get as many rejections as I get acceptances, you know?
They always ask celebrities where they keep their Oscar. Do you keep it in a special place?
No, it's right on my mantelpiece in my home in Vancouver. And everybody who comes in here who visits me wants to hold it, of course, wants sometimes to be photographed with it. And during the course of time that I've had it, it's been photographed and rubbed so often that it actually, the gold wore off it. it had to be sent back to Hollywood for a little refurbishing and a re-dipping. So it's back in its original condition anyway now.
How long have you lived in Vancouver?
Be 10 years now.
Do you find that it's the right place to make films? I guess in terms of the Wild Horse Redemption, you traveled to Colorado, but is Vancouver a good place for a filmmaker, perhaps?
It's a great place for certainly a documentary filmmaker. We have some great cameramen, great soundmen, and great editors, and a surplus of talent here, and I'm very attached to Vancouver and the film community here.
What are you working on now?
I'm doing a musical comedy about dying.
Really?
Yeah.
And then when will we see that?
In about a year.
John, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. I appreciate you taking the time, and we'll watch you Thursday night.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your interest.
Thanks very much. The film is called The Wild Horse Redemption. It airs on CBC Television's Doc Zone this Thursday, the 12th of March, 8 p.m. It's filmmaker John Siritsky on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.